chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And let me read three verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through verse 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, will you turn back with me to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and listen as I read verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. What is the word that overcomes God? What is the word that gives strength for daily burdens, that gives songs in the night, that fortifies the soul for Gethsemane agony? What is the word that delivers from falling? Well, that mighty word is prayer, according to the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now this is the word that comes before us in this third and most important contrast in Hebrews. Christ is greater than angels, who are the messengers of the law. He is greater than Moses, who is the mediator of the law. And now he is greater than Aaron, who is the administrator of the law. And here the argument begins. And I think, in a sense, the heart of the argument is here, because the argument in the Epistle of the Hebrews is an argument that is conceived of as salvation, that involves priesthood, covenant, sacrifices. And so, through this great contrast with Aaron, our author will show that Christianity has a better priest, a better covenant, a better sacrifice. And that is why he speaks about the salvation that we possess as so great salvation. Now, here in the 14th verse, we have, as you can see, skipped the section in which our author has given a warning. So a matter of fact, we skipped a few more verses than that, too. But I think that there is a connection, obvious, between our section and chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and chapter 2, 17 and 18, because it is in those verses that the author, for the first time, mentions the subject of high priesthood. And the then of verse 14 of chapter 4 takes us back to chapter 2, verse 17 through chapter 3, verse 6. Seeing then, in the light of what I have just said before my admonition to you, that we have a great high priest. Now it is the priest who can enable the Hebrew Christians to maintain their confession and resist the temptation to turn away when we meet our Meribahs. And that is the purpose of the introduction of this great contrast at this point. Every Christian is faced with the same type of problem that the Hebrews faced as they went through the wilderness. And it is the knowledge of our Lord as the great high priest who is to be the strength when that testing comes. So now, in the 14th verse, he states, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now let me just, for a few moments, take some of these words that our author has given us for our devotional time this morning, and point out a few of the things that he is saying which often escape our attention. Seeing then that we have. By the way, he does not say, seeing then that there is a great high priest. There is a great deal of difference between saying there is a great high priest and we have a great high priest. Every blessing that is set forth in the Word of God is prized as it is had. And while it is wonderful to know that there is a great high priest, it is far more wonderful to know that we have a great high priest. It's a great thing to know about the doctrine of justification by faith, but it is much greater to know that we have the righteousness that Jesus Christ so provides. It's a great thing to know that there is forgiveness of sins, but it is far greater to know that we have this forgiveness of sins. Our author is one who speaks from the standpoint of personal experience, and so he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, to have a great high priest, of course, means that we have a man who is near of kin unto us, who has the names on the breastplate, which is upon his breast, and who has the names of the children of God upon the stones that are set in gold upon his shoulders. And consequently, in this great high priest, we have powerful incentive to endurance. And that is his exhortation. A great high priest, and then he says, that has passed through the heavens. Now, when he says that he has passed through the heavens, he means that he has passed through the heavens, which we see, on into the presence of God. And he, of course, wants us to think of the contrast that exists between the position of our great high priest and the position of Aaron. Aaron was a priest who ministered in an earthly tabernacle, just a little tent, as a matter of fact, which was only a symbol of the ultimate reality. But Jesus Christ is one who has passed through the earthly tabernacle on into the presence of God. What Aaron could do only symbolically, Jesus Christ does actually. Now, of course, he also states that he has passed into the heavens. That is, that the ministry which is characteristic of the new covenant is a ministry that is carried on in heaven. Now, if that is true, and I think it is true, then we should also say that the opposite is not true. That is, that there is no longer a ministry and service carried on the earth which has the sanction of the Father in heaven. That means that worship and service ultimately is related to heaven itself. Now, I realize that there are certain aspects of service that do take place upon the earth. It is true that when we are born again, we are baptized in water here on the earth, not in heaven. And it is true that we observe the Lord's table. But no longer since the inauguration of the new covenant is there a divinely instituted worship on the earth as there was during the days of the old covenant. Now, one of the striking errors of Christianity is that they have failed to see this. And so we find in much of our Christianity about us relics of the fact that there was once an old covenant and that old covenant now, of course, has been done away with. For example, we have today priests upon the earth who are outwardly priests. Not inwardly. I'm not speaking about the fact that you and I are priests of God. But we still have in religious organizations men who are called priests. Now this is a carryover from the old covenant. But Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens and the old covenant has been done away with. We have priestly dress and we have collars that indicate that certain men are different from other men. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, the priests did wear different clothing. But now, these are relics of the fact that there was once an old covenant, but the new covenant has taken its place. There are earthly sanctuaries, and how often do we speak of the place in which the worship of God's people is carried on as a sanctuary? I hope that you do not, because, of course, the building in which worship is carried on is insignificant. It may be a building that is dedicated to God, but it is not a sanctuary in a special sense that other buildings are not. But we have carried that over because at one time there was worship carried on in an earthly sanctuary. And then we have carryover in ritual and liturgy. Of the Old Testament ritual and liturgy. And we have altars and candles and incense. Now, I'm not suggesting that a person is not free to do this. If they wish to do it, that is fine. But as far as I can see, there is no need to do it, and I would not do it. It seems to me that since the priest has passed through the heavens, our worship is now heavenly worship. Now then, our author states that